You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey. To the journey.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of To the Journey.
To the journey.
I'm Charlene Schmidt, and with me, as always, is
Tristan Riddell and
Lori Sears.
Yes, both wonderful, wonderful people. I love you both.
I think so.
Yes.
Thanks.
Okay. Aww. So to preface today's topic, because I know we say this every week, but I really am excited about this week's topic. I think it's going to be awesome. We're going to be talking about a lot of just badass moments.
Specifically Janeway badass moments.
Right.
Yes.
I mean, every captain kind of has their thing, right? Kirk was the cowboy, and he knew how to throw the punches to get his point across. And Picard was the diplomat, and he gave his speeches. Sisko kind of yelled at everybody, and that got his point across. But Janeway, she kind of had her own flavor, and she had some great moments on Voyager, and that's what we're going to discuss today. The three of us have each picked three of our favorite Janeway badass moments. We're going to talk about them, and as always, we have not shared with each other the moments that we have picked, so it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a lot of fun. And many thanks to listener Adam Brooks for suggesting this topic. We loved it, and snatched it right up. We're doing it. So thank you, Adam. Tristan, why don't you kick things off for us?
See, I had a lot of struggle this week about what to do, because, you know, I thought it could have been easy to do a generic type of badass moment where she's carrying a gun and she shoots down the macrocosm or you know, anything like that, where we see her in a tank top, you know, and she's stabbing people left and right. I forgot about that episode. Most of you probably haven't seen it, but you know, it would have been easy to pick a moment like that. So I just wanted to go for kind of the more vocabulary of Janeway, like the moments where she was very eloquent and just ripped people a new one.
Yes, this is what
That's
I did
it.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good.
There
okay,
you go.
Good. I'm glad that all of us did that, because it would have been very boring just to pick the action sequences.
Well, right. Like you said, that's too easy.
Yeah, I picked three, and I have one honorable mention, but I'd have to say, okay, for the first one that I'm going to share, I'll share, it's from Year of Hell Part 2, and Year of Hell was a gold mine.
Mm-hmm.
For moments like these, and I wouldn't be surprised if you guys had Year of Hell quotes as well. But this one is between Janeway and Tuvok. Tuvok was talking about how it would be logical to abandon Voyager, and the quote goes like this:
"This ship has been our home. It's kept us together. It's been part of our family. As illogical as this might sound, I feel as close to Voyager as I do to any other member of my crew. It's carried us, Tuvok. Even nurtured us. And right now, it needs one of us."
And I thought it was fantastic writing, and I thought it was a fantastic character moment for Janeway. And I thought it was just very eloquent, and it got the point across. She's like, no, I'm not leaving Voyager. You can leave Voyager if you want.
Mm-hmm.
but I'm staying behind, and I'm doing this.
That's right.
It's very captain goes down with her ship syndrome.
Yeah.
Very
and
much so. Yes.
I think it absolutely needed to be mentioned. What do you guys think of this?
Oh, that's a great freaking line. Yes.
It
I
is.
Hadn't, I did not remember that one. I'm almost ashamed to admit it now, but I'm glad I didn't pick it, because we've got to pick different ones, and we're just getting this one out here right now from the get-go. That's good.
Yeah.
Great, great line. Perfect for a captain to say. Perfect for Janeway to say.
Mm-hmm. Because she talks to Voyager.
She
talks to the ship like it's alive sometimes. So,
it's
yeah,
an
that
entity.
Is perfect. Yes.
I would have liked to have seen that more. I mean, she talks to the ship a lot in Year of Hell, like when she says, like, be kind, and she rushes into the fire.
Mm-hmm.
I would have liked to have seen that a little bit more.
Yeah.
It would have been a cute touch, wouldn't it?
Yeah, there was a few times that Voyager would introduce things at the beginning of the episode that would say, oh, this character does this all the time, but we only see it in that episode.
Yes.
Thankfully, we do see Catherine talk to Voyager throughout the series. I just wanted it just a little bit more.
Yeah. She talks to the replicator all the time.
That's
true. And it hates her.
I think, Char, that was probably one of your favorite overall quotes. It was like, get it yourself.
Yeah, that is a favorite of mine. It really is.
Oh yeah,
I liked it when the replicator talked back to her.
All right, Lori, I am dying to hear what your first one is.
Me too. Oh,
you know, in that episode, The Cloud, at the beginning, when Neelix, to me, acts totally out of character when he's all whining because they went in that space life form, heard it, went back out, and then they decided they had to go back in and fix whatever was going on, and he's all, they're such idiots! The explorers, what idiots! So he marches himself to the captain's ready room and says,
so if you don't mind, Kes and I will wait on board my little vessel for you to return.
All our crews are busy preparing for this mission. I'm not pulling them off their duties to prepare your ship for launch, and I'm not going to drop you off on the side of the road every time we hit a bump. When we're finished, if you want to leave, that's your business. But for the moment, find yourself a seat with a good view, because just like Jonah and the whale, you're going in.
Is that final?
Dismissed. That's a Starfleet expression for get out.
I love yes. that, because that's just so awesome. That's just so
that
her.
Is.
It really is just like, okay, nailing it. Get out of my face. I don't have time for your business right now. I really
yes.
like that.
I like Janeway in that scene a lot. She has bigger problems than this little whiny rat yes. who wants off her ship, who can't handle
it's
a little stress.
It's pronounced Talaxian.
Whatevs.
Whatevs.
Yeah, she just dismisses him so well. It's perfect.
But he never whines like that. I was just thought, well, that's perfect right there for her to just nail him on it and say, okay, no more. We don't have time
that's
for
right.
this.
Sit down, shut up, and hang on.
That's right.
And you're right. That was a hell of a cheesy line about Jonah and the whale.
Yeah, that was truly. And then what made it more cheesy was that little clicking sound that she made.
I know.
Yes.
What was that?
Like, in theory, that was a really cool line. But while I was watching, I was like, oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the reaction we all had.
Like, aw.
And also, the Sunday school student in me was going, it was a fish.
The giant fish, that's right.
That's
lady, get your Bible references correct.
I know we don't quote a lot of the Bible in Star Trek, but if you're going to do it right, okay?
Yeah, come on. Accuracy.
No, Lori, that was a very nice character defining moment for her, and that was early on. I forgot how early on that was.
Yeah. That was good. That was a good one.
What about yours, Char? What's your first one?
Okay. My first one is from Deadlock, where the Vidians have boarded the ship and basically they have no choice but to blow it up. They come to the bridge and she and Chakotay are standing there. She is completely calm and composed. She says,
hello. I'm Captain Catherine Janeway. Welcome to the bridge.
Commander.
I thought that was pretty badass.
That was very badass.
That's true. That's a very stoic badass moment. Very laconic.
Yeah, yeah. I really enjoy that episode as a whole, but that's the icing on the cake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is.
Just the way she handled that.
Let's go out with a literal bang.
For real. Yes, indeed.
That was a perfect ending to a very perfect episode. And that was, like you guys said, that was icing on the cake, that line. That just, like, if I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down as a smartass, you know?
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep, absolutely no fear in her face or her voice.
Mm-hmm.
She'd accepted it. Boom. And then we move on because there were two Voyagers, and we have the weird thing where it's not the real Harry and it's not the real Naomi, but who cares because they're still there anyway. And
yeah.
Could I just mention an honorable mention right now? I hope you guys don't have this, because it's the same episode where she says to Mr. Kim, we're Starfleet officers. Weird is a part of the job. Great freaking line.
That's probably one of the most famous Star Trek lines ever. I mean, out of any show.
You're probably right. And for a good reason. It's a great line.
It truly is. So it rings true.
Yes. As I recall, back in the day when that episode first came out, I think I had that as my email signature. You know, I had it as a quote. Yes, I'm a dork. I don't care.
That's great. That's really awesome.
We're all hosting a Star Trek podcast. I think it's safe to say that we're all dorks and we don't care.
Right? And if you're listening to it, you're a dork and you're proud too.
Sure.
I remember there was a TV special of Star Trek's, I think, 30th anniversary. It might have been the 25th. Mm-hmm. And they had everybody there, like every cast member up until that time.
I know what you're talking about. It was the 30th.
It was the 30th? Okay. Mm-hmm. I had it taped and I watched it constantly.
I watched it till the tape broke.
Yeah, they had the whole Frasier skit. And but like they had this huge, really cool montage of some of the greatest Star Trek moments, and they ended the entire montage with "We're Starfleet officers, weird is part of the job."
Indeed.
And, great. Actually, it's funny that whenever I think of that quote or hear that quote, that's what I think of. I think of that special.
Oh, that was a great special, too. I watched the heck out of that thing. I kid you not, until the tape actually broke. My VCR started going out, and it broke that tape, and I was so sad.
Yeah, you remember the days when the celebration of Star Trek, not the Star Trek the show, the celebration of Star Trek was on during a primetime slot on a primetime network.
Yeah.
I miss those days
Star Trek heyday. We had no idea how good we had it.
Right. Those were the golden years, definitely.
They really were. Okay. So, Tristan, round two. What's your pick?
Oh, man. See, okay. I'm trying to pick my second round as we're speaking. I'm having a hard time.
Well, there's so many choices. I know. I've got a whole list of lines that I came up with just thinking. I mean, I wasn't even researching. I was just going through episodes in my head and coming up with lines. Mm-hmm.
I think I'm going to flip-flop my honorable mention and just go with it.
Do it.
I really like the moment in The Disease with Harry Kim and Janeway. This is more of a Harry Kim moment than it is a Janeway moment, but I felt it really helped define the relationship that the two of them had and now have. And it was after Kim got caught sleeping with, I think her name's Tal or Tal, and he's getting all weird and fleshy. And
his space herpes.
His space herpes, exactly.
Captain.
Stowart, Ensign. Right now, the only thing standing between you and the brig is this report. The doctor's bioscans confirm that you and Tal have developed some sort of biochemical bond. Clearly, it's affected your behavior, so I have to assume that's why you disobeyed my orders. You've got 30 seconds before I have Tuvok drag you to sick bay.
Captain, I am not sick. I didn't disobey your orders because I'm under some alien influence. I disobeyed your orders because Tal and I are in love, and it's not right for you to keep us apart.
Oh, listen to yourself. You don't sound anything like the Harry Kim I know.
Good. I have served on this ship for 5 years and said yes, ma'am, to every one of your orders, but not this time.
You're willing to risk your rank, your career over this?
Have you ever been in love, Captain?
Your feelings for Tal are no different than mine for, what, the man I was engaged to marry? Well, I lost him. And you're going to lose Tal. You know that. What the doctor is offering you is a way to ease the pain.
I love that moment when Jane was just like, listen, you are still a kid. Even though you've been on this ship for years, you're still a kid. You're going to talk to me about love. I was going to marry the man of my dreams, and I have lost him probably forever. You met this woman a few days ago.
Yeah.
This is true. And she had lost him by that point.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes.
She'd gotten the Dear John letter.
Yeah, she had.
She'd gotten the Dear John letter. You know, she wasn't like yelling at him. She wasn't smacking him around or anything like that. But
maybe
it was
she
just
should
that,
have.
Yeah, maybe she should have. But it was just that moment when she was just like, listen, I am sick of your crap and I will have none of it right now. And she did it in a more calm tone than I would have with an officer in that situation.
Yeah, Janeway really would be a great mother. She could handle a teenager quite well, because that's kind of what this scene reminds me of, is like the teenage 17-year-old kid who's in love for the first time. it was basically talking down to the mother, which is Janeway at this point. And, you know, it's mom saying, look, I have been there and I have had my heart crushed and you're going to deal with it too. I mean, like, she comes down on him so hard, but in such a gentle way.
Right.
The impact has much more of a punch than meets the eye. It's beyond just those words.
I appreciate this moment because this is a very good moment to point out a non-sexist maternal view of Janeway and the crew. I felt like this is, it's not like what Q said, oh, you're mommy to this crew. No, this is her being maternal without being overly momish, if you will. Like, she's maternal because she's female. Okay, let's just, you know, let's just get it out in the open. That's why she's, that, you know, you'd never call, you know, Picard maternal because he's male. You know, it's just how it is. But he has been, but there were moments where he was kind of like a father to Wesley.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, she kind of has kind of that, despite being female, she does have kind of that instinct to reach out and, you know, be that way with people. Not all females have that just by virtue of being female, but she does.
Very much. Very much. But
oh, that's
I was just trying to make the distinction between why you use the word maternal and not just a generic parental or, you know, fatherly or anything like that.
Yeah,
but it's true. It's true.
If she needed to discipline him, she would, but it's just because that's what needs to happen on the books. Like, she wants to help him get over this.
Right. 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 Yeah.
Like,
she
a good
cares about him
would.
More on a personal level rather than just as an officer. Yeah.
Right.
I see what you're saying.
Okay, Lori, lay it on us. Number two.
I don't know if I should go all serious like you did or just be all silly. I think I like silly. I'm going to go back to Year of Hell, the first episode.
Oh, that's the silliest episode I've ever seen.
It's so silly. Well, you know, when those, I don't even remember what those name of those aliens were. They showed up.
The Krenim.
Yeah, the Krenim. When they showed up the first time, they were like, oh, who cares? You have nothing. You're not very powerful at all. There's nothing.
You will reverse course immediately. This region is in dispute. You have no business in Krenim space.
I was under the impression we were entering Zal territory.
The Zal have no legitimate claim here. They have taken what is ours. Reverse course or be destroyed.
With all due respect, unless you've got something a little bigger in your torpedo tubes, I'm not turning around.
I could not believe that she said that, and everybody's face looked at her. Everybody looked at her like, what the? I can't believe you said that.
And then, yeah.
And then it was just so totally awesome. It was just so cool.
Take some cojones to say that.
I know.
I always felt like, that's a bit unprofessional.
Well, it was, kind of. That's why it was badass.
Yeah, you know, in a way, maybe it was, but it worked.
Well, for the next 5 seconds, and then time shifted.
Well, that's true.
That's true, too.
And she got her comeuppance.
Yes, she did.
But
that was a great
for
line.
That moment. It was a great moment right there.
Yeah.
She might have wanted to have said that to the Kazon, maybe.
She should have said it to them.
Because that comes to my next pick, which is Janeway to Kola. In state of flux.
If you attempt to remove anything from our ship, it will be considered an act of war.
You know, I'm really easy to get along with most of the time. But I don't like bullies, and I don't like threats, and I don't like you, Kola.
Just the way she says that. Oh, yeah, bring it! Tell him off. That's stupid. I can't say that word.
That sentiment is echoed throughout the series because she says that again in another episode where she doesn't like bullies, and then she says in multiple episodes, I don't like threats. And I mean, granted, nobody likes threats, but she really doesn't like threats.
Yeah, don't go there with her.
Yeah, there's certain times when she'll be like walking away from the view screen, she'll go to threat, and she'll just kind of raise an eyebrow, turn around, and then just tell Tuvok to open fire, you know?
Yeah. Enough of that.
Yeah.
Fire at will.
Absolutely.
Yes, very good. Okay, we are on to round three.
Round three.
Tristan, what have you got?
This one, it's from Scientific Method, and I know that Janeway was getting, you know, pushed with drugs and stress and everything like that. And this is what kind of caused her to be so harsh. But at the same time, you know that if she was pushed by normal means, she would have done this anyway. It was when Torres and Paris were caught making out.
Okay.
And and Janeway just kind of lays into him.
I don't usually pry into the personal lives of my crew, but in this case, I have to question your recent conduct.
I guess Tuvok.
Tuvok? I haven't heard a word from Tuvok. But you two have been making enough of a public display that half the ship is gossiping about it.
Believe me, that wasn't our intention.
You are senior officers, and I expect you to maintain the standard for the rest of the crew. But this adolescent behavior makes me question my faith in you both. If you choose to pursue a relationship, that's your business. But you consider yourselves under orders to use better judgment about it. Is that understood?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, Captain.
Dismissed.
Dismissed. It's always awesome when a captain has to say dismissed after they just reamed someone.
And Janeway does a fantastic dismissed.
She does.
I think it's even better than Sisko, and I love me some Sisko, but she doesn't have to scream dismiss like Sisko does.
No.
You can just hear the disappointment in her voice.
Right.
That's what I was going to say. That's, to me, that's the whole crux of all this badass. If she's getting onto somebody, it's like, I'm just so disappointed in you.
Right?
Yes.
Isn't that worse than anger?
Oh, my God. Yes.
Oh, man.
So
like when
bad.
You're growing up, you know, mom comes over to talk to you.
Yes.
I'm not angry. I'm just really disappointed.
I expected more from you.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, that feels way worse than if they're just going about the room and hollering at you. At least you can take that and holler back. But if they're calm and disappointed and guilting you to death.
Yes. I'd rather him hit me. Just hit me.
We do not advocate violence onto the journey.
I could see Kim saying that. Hit me, hit me.
Just hit me.
Just get it over with. All right, diverting the topic from punishment. Lori, how about you give us your last one?
In Endgame, when the Admiral went onto the Borg ship, the cube sphere, or whatever shape it was. And
the hexagon?
It was the
Pentagon.
The Queen's ship, I think, is what it was.
That thing, right there. And gave her the virus, and the Queen starts falling apart left and right. Her arm falls off, and it's just flailing around. And she says something like...
Interceptor. Must be something you assimilated.
Shove it! That's what that was.
Pretty much.
Yeah. That's what that was. That was cool.
She told the Borg Queen where to stick it.
Man, I feel like such a windbag. All of mine are like really long conversations, and yours are really, really awesome one-liners.
I like it. We've got a mix.
Yeah, I like a mix, too. I do, too. I had some long ones. I just didn't say them.
Yeah.
I'll let you talk.
Well, you know, the thing with Janeway's badassery is she doesn't have to give a grand old speech like Picard did. She can pack a punch in one line and get it done.
Yeah, but those were some amazing Picard speeches, though.
They were.
Oh, I'm not saying that. Yeah. I'm not discrediting them at all. I'm just saying that Janeway's style can be a little more concise.
Yes, I think that's absolutely true.
It's your turn.
Okay, I know what it is. I know what it is. I was debating whether to go with this one or not, but no, this is definitely it. Okay, in the thaw, she's having that final confrontation with fear manifested itself, and she says,
Starfleet captains don't easily succumb to fear.
What will become of us? Of me?
Like all fear, you eventually vanish.
I'm afraid.
I know.
That was real badass.
That's uber badass. I freaking love that. That's the best conclusion to an episode ever.
My favorite part of that episode was that it was concluded.
The fade to black?
Yes.
Well, whatevs. I love it.
I'm not going to say it because you all know my viewpoint of that episode.
Yes, we've already discussed this.
Yes, we have.
But I have to throw that one in there because that's pretty badass in a Janeway way.
Okay, well, I think we have a couple of minutes for some quick honorable mentions, like one from each of us, don't you?
I think we do.
Sure.
All right. So, I will throw in mine.
Do it.
It's from Equinox, which is a great episode of Discipline and Disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
And this one is to the crew that she kept on after the Equinox was destroyed and Captain Ransom was dead. So I like how she kind of berated them.
The last time we welcomed you aboard, you took advantage of our trust. You betrayed this crew. I won't make that mistake again. Noah Lessing, Marla Gilmore, James Morrow, Brian Sofen, Angelo Tassoni. You're hereby stripped of rank. You'll be expected to serve as crewmen on this vessel. Your privileges will be limited. And you'll serve under close supervision for as long as I deem fit. This time you'll have to earn our trust. Dismissed.
Dismissed!
Again, ending with a dismissed.
Ending with dismissed.
Get out! Yes! Awesome.
Now, granted, like, it wasn't so much for, like, it wasn't really a speech that was eloquent or packed a punch or anything like that. It was more the idea behind it, where she could have left those people somewhere. She could have thrown them in the brig, but she's like, no, you're going to be on this ship, but you're going to have no privileges. You're going to have no rank. You're going to be the lowest of the low. You're going to be cleaning deuterium tanks, basically.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you're going to do that as long as I want you to do that, because I'm the captain. And I thought that was cool.
That's
pretty good.
All right, Lori, how about you?
I guess I can't leave it without one speech she had with Seven, how Seven argued with everything she said on that on Prey, when she just wanted to go and kill that species 8472, or let the Hirogen have the guy who was just kind of half dead laying there.
Yeah.
And they just argued back and forth.
I'm giving you an order. Report to Deflector Control and begin working on creating a singularity.
I will not comply. I have agreed to remain on Voyager. I have agreed to function as a member of your crew. But I will not be a willing participant in my own destruction or the destruction of this ship.
Objection noted. We'll do this without you.
You will fail.
And you have just crossed the line. End of debate. Report to the cargo bay and remain there until this is over. Is that understood?
Anyway, I thought that was great, because finally, I don't know, Seven just pushy. She never really said anything to her, but then she finally just said, enough. Enough. Stop.
So, enough is enough.
Yes, you've reached the end of my patience.
7 of 9 needed to be told to shut up more often.
Sometimes.
I agree with you.
Yeah, and she did argue every single thing Janeway ever said.
And she always says, huh, it's funny. You tell me to be an individual, but then when I try to be an individual, you slap me down. Oh, God, I wanted to smack the writer so hard, because that was her excuse for every single argument.
It was. It got just a little tiresome.
Yeah, they could have been a little more clever with that, come up with something new, definitely.
Yeah, but they didn't.
Oh, well, life.
All right, Char, how about you bring us home?
Okay. I think I want to end this on kind of a cutesy note, where Janeway says to Naomi,
there are 3 things to remember about being a starship captain. Keep your shirt tucked in. Go down with the ship. And never abandon a member of your crew.
I love that.
I really like that one, too. That was almost my honorable mention. It was on my sheet right here.
I still have a whole bunch on my list here, but I think that's the best one that I've got left. We've covered, I think, the best of the best. We could keep going about this, I think. We could do another hour and a half, 3 hours, all night.
This could be an anthology.
It could, but we're not, we're obviously not trying to cover all the bases. We're just kind of cherry picking our favorites. So I got to go with that one. I really like that line. I like that moment, too,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
With Naomi.
Sweet.
I think we did a good job of covering all kind of the facets and aspects of her quips and one-liners and speeches and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think so. And then, of course, we've mentioned dismissed as dismissed. One of the favorite, like, most frequently spoken lines. Because, mm-hmm. you know,
I'm surprised we haven't thrown in a do it.
I was going to say that.
Do it.
That's where I was going with this, is every captain kind of has their thing. And she's got a couple. She's got dismiss, do it, engage. And then also, of course, coffee, black.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I want to mention one more time before we officially close out the show is that this was a topic suggested by a listener. And if you have a topic suggestion for us, we love to entertain it. You can contact us on trek.fm/forums if you want to talk to us on the forums. We're all there, correct? I believe we are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So talk to us about the show. You can also send us an email. Go to trek.fm/contact and let us know that way. Or you can talk to us on Twitter. And you can find me on Twitter at OhTheProfanity. Lori, where can we find you?
I am at LoriS68. And Tristan?
I am at The Insane Robin.
All right. So next week, you guys, we're going to revisit the character analysis portion of our show. We're going to talk about Tristan's favorite Klingon, the lovely B'Elanna Torres, as played by Roxanne Dawson. I can tell you are very excited about this already.
I am super excited. I might have to dust off the old stand-up and bring her out for this episode.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, bring it.
Yeah.
Put it in the background.
Okay.
So cute.
Fantastic. Something to look forward to, you guys. So until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!
To the Journey.